It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, on down the line. Appreciate you checking in this morning. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well, producer number 7. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Football back, of course, at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app, that is, from the same folks who bring you the best sportsbook and casino action in Las Vegas. BetMGM, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state of art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. And if you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, hockey, and football, just go to BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. On the show today, hour number 2, the crack man, Bill Krakenberger Unscripted, Josh Towers, the return of the vitriol of Josh Towers. When I say vitriol, I say it lovingly. Josh on Major League Baseball. We get to check in with him after a long time and see how he feels about everything that's going on in Major League Baseball this season. And who can we trust and who can't we in the upcoming postseason? Also, Jason Weingarten with his baseball picks coming off a rocking chair coast job the other day on the over in the Yankees-Blue Jays game. Let us update the U.S. Open scoreboard, or leaderboard, I should say, to start things off. Did you have Davis Thompson at the top of your leaderboard? University of Georgia product. Davis Thompson, 3-under through 9 at the U.S. Open at Winged Foot, early, of course, there in New York. 1-stroke lead currently over the likes of Rory McIlroy, Corey Connors, Harris English, those three. By the way, we had a lot of golf experts on the show this week, both here stateside and across the pond. I don't remember one person mentioning Rory McIlroy. Producer number 6.5, Matt Santos, has Rory McIlroy. So let's give him a shout-out on that. 2-stroke lead for Davis Thompson over JT Poston, who Brady Cannon did have as his longest shot of his bets. So that's exciting early anyway, very early for Brady. Hideki Matsuyama also 2 back, as well as some other names like Patrick Reed, who I have. Tyrrell Hatton, who started out nice this morning, now back to even par. So Davis Thompson in the lead at the United States Open. Let me start out with some of my picks here today. Let's do it sort of in reverse. Let me start with my golf picks across the board. Do we have the golf's graphic, guys? Yeah, we have the golf's graphic, I think. These are my picks, by the way, in their totality for the U.S. Open, and made these based on some of my convictions, some of the things that both Wes Reynolds and Brady Cannon got me convinced on doing. But ultimately what I did is 3 guys in the outright market. There they are at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. John Rahm had to make that play. Got him at a bad number. Let me just state that in advance. 9-1, but had to play John Rahm. There is Patrick Reed at 30-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 34.5-1. Also played some top fives and top tens. Daniel Berger, who I believe to be course proof, at plus 669. Abraham Answer, top five and top 10 at 15.2-1 on the top five and plus 677 top 10. And then just, you know, a bet for today, because Tommy Fleetwood is prone to doing this, having one spectacular round per major. And I'm going to make a flyer bet on Fleetwood to be that guy today at 40-1. Not expecting to cash, but just to have that going. Those are the golf bets today. As far as Major League Baseball, and we will have Jason Weingarten on the show coming up for his baseball pick. Had a couple yesterday. If you recall, if you listen to this show, by the time we got to our baseball picks, the prices on the two had gotten away. So hopefully you didn't play them. By the way, they would have split. You would have lost some juice. Jacob deGrom left his game with the New York Mets yesterday with hamstring issues. So we would have gotten torpedoed on the first five. Mets did come back to win that game, but obviously we couldn't have anticipated that injury. And DeGrom was gone after 2 innings. That would have been a loss, and that would have been no fault of ours because of that injury. The Giants would have coasted. The Giants did coast. They were up by a touchdown when I looked first. They won it 9-3 going away against the Mariners. I am going back to the Giants well today. I don't like this as much as I liked yesterday's bet, Giants versus the Mariners. The reason I don't like it as much is because Tyler Anderson isn't Drew Smiley when comparing Giants pitchers. But this really does come down to the one major stat I cited between the Mariners and the Giants yesterday, which is simply when you look at stats, and here we have a battle of lefties today, when you look at how these teams offensively do against lefties, this game can largely be distilled to me to one statistic. Giants, 355 weighted on base against left-handed pitching this year. Only four teams in baseball are better, the White Sox, the Nats, the Tigers, and the Phillies. But dead last, 30th, bottom of the barrel, the Mariners against lefties, a 272 weighted on base. Giants are minus 143. Like I said, not as much. I don't like this nearly as much as yesterday's, but I'll play it at minus 143. Giants are the play. Today in Major League Baseball, we'll have Jason Weingarten's picks coming up from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. Let us move to the National Football League tonight, Thursday night. I don't typically have a Thursday night pick in the NFL, and certainly don't typically have one for contests, but I think I'm making an exception tonight. Cleveland Browns now only 6-point favorites against the Cincinnati Bengals. This is down from 7.5 in some spots. And this comes down for me to a couple basic things. First of all, I don't think you should succumb to recency. Yes, the Browns got destroyed by the Ravens 38-6. All right, they got destroyed. Not a lot of shame in having done so at the hands of, I think, what most people might think is the second best team in football, the Ravens. Bengals probably should have beaten the Chargers, didn't, and I'm not so sure how good the Chargers are to begin with. So let's just sort of put those in context. Browns are only favored by 6. This, to me, comes down to a rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow on short rest early in the season. So not only a rookie quarterback, not only on short rest, but early in the season. And I'm not typically a trends guy. I'm not typically someone who leans on trends. But our buddy T.A., Chris Felica's buddy T.A., and he sent me this earlier in the week, and I think this is just absolutely on point. T.A. mentioning that the Browns have a gigantic advantage in this game. Since 2005, here are rookie quarterbacks who had to play on a short week on a Thursday early in the season, talking about the first half of an NFL season, or first 8 weeks, technically, out of a 17-week schedule. 1-6, straight up, one touchdown against 10 picks for an anemic 5.7 yards per attempt as a TA at Cleve TA, C-L-E-V-T-A says, yuck. Browns minus 6 for him, Browns minus 6 for me. And again, I'm not typically a trends guy, but some of these things are meaningful. And here, by the way, he adds the query result to it. The only rookie quarterback in this situation since 2005 to actually emerge victorious, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson did so his rookie year against these Bengals. 13-9, by the way, that time. But here are some of the quarterbacks that have succumbed. And I will sort of acknowledge most of these quarterbacks, not exactly a Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Brandon Whedon. Ah, but there's Russell Wilson. Even Russell Wilson couldn't overcome this his rookie year. E.J. Manuel, Daniel Jones, just last year with the New York Giants. I would think that Joe Burrow will fall into that loss category as well. Joe Burrow ain't Deshaun Watson. Breaking news here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So Giants in baseball, Browns in a rare Thursday bet for me on football, largely because of the rookie quarterback on short rest angle. And I got and the golf picks, as I mentioned, as well. Should I actually give the tennis plays? I hesitate to give the tennis plays because none of them are straight. It's in this sort of money line parlay deal that I do. What say you, Jason Kahn? Should I give those up or not? Because then people are going to be like, ah, you lost this one. What do you think?
Give them the option.
Give them the option. All right. People want tennis. They're playing in Rome. By the way, this tournament's sneaky good. But very difficult to handicap because it's this strange 2020 pandemic year where we're switching from hard court right to clay. Usually the clay season is back in April and May where they lead up to Roland Garros and the French Open, the second major typically in a tennis calendar. Now, here it is right after the U.S. Open, and that's why so many people, obviously with the virus out there, but also just the surface-to-surface thing. Yeah, Rafael Nadal's of the world. Yeah, I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to win the French. Obviously, no one else thinks they're going to win necessarily, but that's the hope. But they're sort of maximizing their chances by choosing one tournament over the other. To those who played both, tip of the cap to them. But the tennis plays that I made that were in whatever variation of Moneyline parlays, and one of them has already hit overnight. It was Denis Shapovalov. But the others, and these are none of these are straight bets. These are all thrown in Moneyline parlays. Andrei Rublev is going up against Hubert Hurkacz. Rublev is one of the other names you should play. On the men's side, Gael Monfils. That's Monfils for the American challenge, the French language. He is going up against Dominic Koeffler. So Monfils is another one. Casper Ruud, he of only two U's consecutively. He's another one that I'm playing in Moneyline parlay legs. And then Lorenzo Musetti, who's one of these Italian players who has shown very quickly in this tournament in Rome that they have invested a lot of money in tennis in Italy in a way that has now produced suddenly some great Italian players, specifically on this surface. So Lorenzo Musetti against Kei Nishikori. You're like, wow, you're fading Kei Nishikori. I am. Lorenzo Musetti is the shortest shot of all of these. He's in there, too. Those are the ones on the men's side, and I'm adding one play on the ladies' side, Kiki Bertens against Polona Hercog. So it's Rublev, Monfils, Ruud, Musetti, and then Kiki Bertens. Play those as you will. Jason Kahn, producer number 7, which of those do you like? Which of those might you play? Or are you at the point here where you're like, you know what, Gil, even though these picks are staring me in the face, I'm not going to listen to any of them.
I don't know enough about tennis. I would just be blindly following you, which I might just do.
Oh, all right. What about the football pick? You have anything on the Browns and Bengals?
I like the Browns, and I like the under. It's supposed to be pretty windy out there today.
I like your under theme.
Yeah, as a general rule.
And what about the golf picks? What did you end up betting in golf?
Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood. I took a handful of picks following you and Brady and Chris Felica.
Okay, yeah.
It was Rom.
These are the things, by the way. These are the things that I've said this before about betting golf. I bet golf scared, and what I mean by that is I will make a smattering of golf bets, and then there is inevitably one or two golfers who I think about making bets on, and then I don't. And inevitably what ends up happening is, as long as these guys don't win, I'll be okay, and there won't be enough self-loathing. The two guys, and there won't be self-loathing involved at all. But the two guys that I thought about playing that I'm watching on the leaderboard and I'm like, please don't win this, are Tyrrell Hatton, who thankfully has come back down to earth after a quick start this morning. I do have Tyrrell Hatton futures for the Masters, but not for this. And the other one is Jason Day, who Wes Reynolds almost convinced me to play, and I actually planned on it and then never got around to doing it. So that's the guy I also worry about who's going to ruin my weekend. But for me, just looking up at the leaderboard right now, I see Patrick Reed hovering other. So I'm hovering under the surface, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I have him too.
Todd Wright. We were hoping to get Todd Wright on the show this morning to talk not only NHL with us, but also U.S. Open and fantasy football. He, with the hockey game, remember it is game 6 of the NHL playoffs tonight. We don't want to sleep on that. He has, of the 10 games played in the NHL, or I should say now in this recent series, of his last 10 games played in hockey, he had the underdog in 9 of them, won 6. So he's playing a lot of dogs in the NHL. But those are the two big sports. I mean, beyond football tonight. Tonight, unlike yesterday, which was all baseball last night, tonight is just sports nirvana. NFL football, Thursday night football, game 6 of the Lightning Islanders series. The Islanders trying to stave off elimination. They're at plus 140 in game 6. The Lightning minus 160. We'll see if the Lightning have Braden Point back. I believe they do. They thought they were going to have him back in game 5. That was a surprise. He didn't play. He should be suited up, I believe, tonight. Lightning trying to close out the Islanders, or might the Islanders be, once again, one of these teams in recent sports history? We saw it with the Nuggets, of course, most famously recently, that comes back from a 3-1 deficit, obviously, for the right to play the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Stars just chilling, waiting for the victor here. But as far as tonight's game, Todd Wright said Lightning or nothing for him. Lightning or nothing for him. And then, of course, there's the NBA tonight, which after a night off has the doubleheader game 2 between the Celtics and the Heat. Heat winning that dramatic game 1 in overtime on the iconic Bam Adebayo block of a Jason Tatum jam, attempted jam, and that preserved the win for the Heat. Really iconic and the best defensive play in the playoffs, I would say, since LeBron swatted away Iguodala's shot back in 2016 in Game 7. Celtics favored by 2.5, total 208.5. You're the under-fest guy, Jason. Anything? Under?
Under or bust.
I am not touching.
Yeah, the numbers have come way down, and they sure made a lot of shots, it felt like, last game. But I'm rolling with the under. The last game went over, but just by half a point more than this one before overtime.
Listen, I got golf picks, I got a football pick, I got a baseball pick, and I got tennis picks. Basketball, once again, is the sport that I am most loath to make any pre-flop bets in. I'm not doing it here for the Heat and the Celtics. Going to see how it plays out. If you're watching MSG Plus the other night on primetime action, we all hit in games on the Heat, +8, +8.5, +9.5, by just playing it that way. Wait for them to fall behind, whether it's the Heat or the Celtics, in such a competitive series, and then pounce in there. That's the best way to me to bet this series. And then it's game one. Lakers and the Nuggets. Nuggets, with a day off, have a day of rest. Now they get to play the Lakers as 7-point dogs. Tomorrow, I'm sorry. That's right. That's tomorrow. Would you have any issue? They'll have 2 days off. Would you have any issue playing the Nuggets? There's nothing that would phase them now, both in a series deficit or an in-game deficit. I'll wait to play the Nuggets in-game in game one tomorrow. Coming back, we'll talk some baseball with Jason Weingarten and Josh Towers. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
This is your last chance to subscribe to VSiN before our rates increase. Get the Pro Football Betting Guide with over 100 pages. And I have to stop mid-promo. Patrick Reed just missed a bunny. Not good for me. The Pro Football Betting Guide with over 100 pages of NFL betting analysis. The College Football Betting Guide as well, with insights on every team, plus daily emails, including our experts' best bets on every sport, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting magazine. All you got to do is sign up now. Next week, the prices will be higher, so do so now. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to lock in your subscription, including our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well, producer number 7. How's the shirt holding up, by the way? Noisy, or are we getting through? Are we getting through VSiN.com, the VSiN app with this shirt? Are we working it out? What's the verdict behind the glass there and downstairs? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not,
there's
not so bad.
There's some action going on.
There's some action. Okay, maybe we will retire this after tonight, or after this morning. See what I just did? I said after tonight, after this morning. I can't keep it together. So let me just, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you how stupid your friendly neighborhood host is. Let me just explain to you how scatterbrained I am. So I am fortunate enough not only to do this show, A Numbers Game at VSiN, as you know, Monday through Friday here on the Sports Betting Network. But I also, you may have heard me mention, I do the MSG Plus show, Primetime Action. Jason, it's going well. Thanks for asking. Spectacularly well. We're having a ball. Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, she's fun to have on there, Kelly Bidlin. And we're just reacting to sports in real time. We're making in-game bets. And so far, we're just killing it. Our records are spectacular. We have to remind the audience, we can't sustain this record. It's too good. So we have to sort of calibrate it that way. So I do that Monday through Friday as well. And then today, for instance, I do the Megapod, which we do after this. By the way, today's guest is Matt Brown with Mike Palm and Todd Wishnam. Anyway, the point that I'm getting to is that I am completely scatterbrained at this point. I'm not complaining. I'm making a point here, what I'm about to say. You know how everybody was making fun of the 17 people who didn't put in their Survivor picks over at Circa? Did you catch people making fun of those people?
Of course.
Yeah, I guess they deserve to be made fun of, right? That's $1,000 a pop, for goodness sake. Let me just explain. Like, it took me till 9:30 Saturday morning to remember, oh, I better put these in, Survivor and Circa Million. So thankfully, I did that. But you know what I forgot to put in and didn't remember and still didn't remember till this morning, 4 days after the fact? You would think on the Sunday of the NFL, I'd be like, oh yeah, I forgot to do that. It literally took me to today to remember. I just burned away $100 on Last Man Standing. Completely forgot to make any of my Last Man Standing bets. What does that say about me? What's happening to me? I have no recollection of going there, giving them $100, and saying, yes, I can't wait to play in this contest. And then literally it took me 4 days later to even remember that I had done that. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not as bright as I think I am.
You got a lot going on.
So, Jason, what was your suggestion? What was your suggestion off air that I needed
a gambling assistant.
So you're producer number seven. You think I need gambling assistant number one to keep all the bets intact. How many people do you think would apply for that job? Gambling assistant.
Countless.
I would love, that would be awesome. Hey, what didn't I remember to bet this? Oh, that's right. I have to go over to Palace Station. Let's update the leaderboard. As you know, I was reacting. So one of the things we do on Primetime Action, VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings over there at MSG Plus, is we're reacting to sports in real time. I just did because I have Patrick Reed here as one of my futures at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. He had, I don't know if it was a gimme putt, but he certainly should have made a putt from short distance, call it 7 feet, maybe 6 feet. I don't know, maybe even five. He missed it. So he does not get the bird there. And Patrick Reed, I don't know, was that for? Yeah, that was for birdie. He is still two shots back. The leader, Davis Thompson, out of the University of Georgia. Now, if Davis Thompson ends, and it's way early, let's be honest, this is like halfway through the first quarter for him of a football game, the equivalent. If Davis Thompson wins this, none of us knows anything about anything. But he's got the one-stroke lead over Rory, over Corey Connors, the Canadian, and Harris English. That is still what the leaderboard shows. And two back, Webb Simpson, Brady's JT Poston, and Hideki Matsuyama. All of them sort of knocking at the dough in the U.S. Open. The one thing that we can definitely say from this morning, the biggest single takeaway, I was asking everybody who was on the show, what do you think the winning score on this is going to be? Even? One over? Wouldn't they just take two over right now and call it a day? Thompson's three under. So that's probably the biggest revelation early on. That could change too during the weekend at Winged Foot in New York. Gary Woodland trying to defend his U.S. Open championship, of course. We'll come back. We'll shift it to baseball. Jason Weingarten has his baseball picks. And then Josh Towers, what managers can I trust? Who can't I trust in the postseason? And how does he feel about all these rules that happened this year in baseball? Coming back, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers game brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps you find the high impact hire your business needs and fast. You'll find lots of great candidates and no long-term contracts at indeed.com/high impact. It's Gil Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. It's Jason Weingarten. Good morning to you, Jason. Jason, are you there? Oh, wow.
Yeah, you hear me?
There you go.
Hello?
There you are. This has been a bang-up morning, everybody. How you doing, man? You good?
Pretty good.
Okay, that works. Let me ask you about this. Bob Nightingale yesterday tweeting this about Fernando Tatis Jr., and let's start here. This is how these things can change. We've seen it in an AL Cy Young Award race a couple years back where Chris Sale was, like, totally getting it, until then he wasn't getting it at all, deep into a season. Fernando Tatis Jr., who by anybody's measure, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, was your National League MVP. Well, he's in a 1-for-12 slump, at least when Bob Nightingale tweeted this out yesterday. And for the month of September, this cannot be true. 5-for-49 for a 102 batting average. Is that true?
Right.
That sounds about right to you?
Yeah.
So it's done. Like, you, unless he has the... if he can't get it if he continues with this till the end, 10 days from now, can he? 9 days from now?
Probably would create an opening for somebody else. Or there's already sort of been an opening.
And who would that person be?
I don't know. Freddie Freeman, probably. And then obviously Mookie Betts.
Freddie Freeman.
The vote was today. Yeah.
Now think about that. We haven't mentioned, at least on the show, I know we have off air, but we haven't mentioned Freddie Freeman and Ernest for that award really at any point. So that's how much of a scrum this was. And like you have said, all it took was one good week from somebody, one spectacular week, and in this case, one spectacularly bad stretch. Do you hold a Freddie Freeman ticket?
No, I don't have any.
Yeah.
Nothing on Betts, nothing on Freeman.
Our boy's done. Corey Seager's done, right?
I mean, 10, 12 games left still translates to over 25 in a normal season. So there's still a lot of time for anybody to do something, but I'm not counting on it.
American League, who's your MVP?
Jose Abreu at the moment, because he's on the winning team, but it could change to Nelson Cruz. Probably not Shane Bieber.
Could you imagine Nelson Cruz won an MVP at his age, in his 40s? Okay.
Yeah.
What an interesting season in so many ways. Josh Tower is coming on the show momentarily to get his thoughts, former major leaguer, on what he's liked this year, what he hasn't, what managers we can trust and can't trust. What about the slate of Major League Baseball tonight? It's not a huge slate, but competing with the NFL, competing with basketball and hockey, what do you like today? What have you bet?
I bet the Mets. They're about plus 109 right now. Bet the Mets game today. That was my only big baseball bet so far. The other bet I'm looking at is I'm debating whether or not I want to buy a late future on the Yankees to win the AL East, because I'm starting to worry that the gap that the Rays had is slowly closing as the season winds down.
Isn't that amazing that a week plus, so like 8 days ago, don't hold me to 8 days, but somewhere in that pocket, we were literally saying to ourselves, not to ourselves, but out loud, because it was true in the standings, the Orioles are a half game behind the Yankees for the eighth and final playoff spot. Here we are 8 days later, and not only is that not the case, as they whacked the Orioles, who were offensively depleted without Santander, most notably, but then they go ahead and they take on the Baby Jays, who are in front of them in the AL East, and over the last 2 days have outscored them, I think this is right, 33-8. Is that good? I don't believe in sending messages, but that was kind of a message sent to the Baby Jays. So now the Yankees are in second place. And what is the number on them to win the AL East here with, again, just 10 days left in the season?
I saw 6-1 and 10-1. And my big concern is I'm already holding a Rays ticket. But from March, I'm holding a Rays ticket at 6.5-1. And I just don't want to walk away with anything from that.
With nothing,
that
yeah. No, I get it. By the way, it's only three games, right? Like, they're only three games behind the Rays. What a
three and a half, I thought. But, yeah, it's
three.
Worrisome.
It's three. Three, exactly.
Oh, three. That's even worse.
Yeah. Seven-game winning streak for the New York Yankees. That'll do it. That'll absolutely do it. No drama, really, at this point in terms of who will make the playoffs in the American League, with the possible exception of the Astros and the Mariners for second place. Can you believe that's what we're discussing? The Astros and the Mariners, who are two games apart for second place in the AL West. That's the only thing there. I may have asked you this last week or earlier this week, but I'll ask it again. Of the National League is much more of a scrum. What is the team? Is it still the Cincinnati Reds? I think that was your answer. The Reds, who are, by the way, now in playoff position. Everything changes in the National League night to night. Playoffs were to start right at this moment. Reds are in. Cardinals are a team that would be vying for a wild card. Reds are the team. Like, who is the team that in a three-game series with their starting pitching is the one team that no one, the proverbial team, no one wants to play?
I would definitely still stick with the Reds. The nobody wants to play them in a three-game series, especially if Sonny Gray's healthy. And you saw last night, Luis Castillo can go 10 strikeouts. That's three really good pitchers they would have. They'd have Bauer, Gray, and Castillo, frontline starters. You'd have Archie Bradley and Raisel Iglesias in bullpen. That's pretty good eight, ninth inning. So, they'd be the team I wouldn't want to face. Good offense, good hitters. They're getting hot at the right time. They're just kind of dragging themselves into the playoffs.
Yeah. You mentioned the Mets too, DeGrom with the hamstring injury yesterday. So that's obviously something that's going to be monitored huge. Mets did end up winning that game yesterday. So the Mets still in the scrum as well. This should be so much fun. For those who missed it, the bracket came out. First round, the best of three series will be played, all three games if necessary, in the home team's ballpark, and then into bubbles thereafter. Best of five in the division series, best of sevens in the league championship series, and in the World Series themselves. So the pick today is the Mets, Jason. That's the pick?
That's the pick.
All right, Lugo on the hill for the Metropolitans, going up against Aaron Nola for the Philadelphia Phillies. Mets are the pick. Let's call them, I don't know, what are they, plus 106-ish? Yeah, plus 109-ish maybe you can even get them. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it as always.
My pleasure. Have a good day. I'll be back to talk more baseball soon.
Please. Absolutely. More and more as the postseason approaches. There are our records, by the way. We flashed them up on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. We'll see who can cross the finish line first. Playoffs will be included. Josh Towers with some more macro baseball talk coming up next on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Week two of the NFL season kicks off tonight, and BetMGM Sports has a game plan for new customers who want a piece of the action. Just sign up and place a $1 money line wager on either the Bengals or the Browns, and you'll win $100 in free bets if Joe Burrow scores a touchdown, regardless of your wager's outcome. That's right, win or lose, you just need Joe Burrow to score a touchdown. Just be sure to use bonus code VSIN100 when you take advantage of this offer. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if Joe Burrow scores a touchdown on Thursday Night Football. Remember, he did last week. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Davis Thompson still leading the U.S. Open in the first round. He's through 11. He's 4-under, one-stroke lead over Rory McIlroy, University of Georgia product, Davis Thompson, amateur playing. This is his career debut. It's his career debut, everybody, at Winged Foot. First place right now on the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. Early, but still. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? It's Gil Alexander, everybody. This gentleman had to be pulled physically from a slot machine pretty much every day here at the South Point. That's the kind of thing he likes to do in his spare time, and he's quite successful at it. We love him for his passionate baseball takes. At No Don't Josh is his Twitter handle. Why? Because he thinks to tweet something, and he goes, "No, don't Josh," and then he still tweets it anyway. It's former major leaguer Josh Towers. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, why are you selling me out, man? Don't be telling people my spot.
They don't know where they're going. They don't know where your seat is. How you been? You been good?
I've been good, man. Yeah, I've been busy, but I've been good.
The world needs more Josh Towers. Let me start with this. Now that we've nearly played, you know, the full 60-game season, we got 10 days left. What did you like? What didn't you like? And I'm talking universal DH, extra inning rules, reliever rules, seven-inning doubleheaders. Pick any or all.
Let's go all. You know, it's crazy. When I played, I hated the DH because I wanted to hit. I mean, I just think baseball is all aspects of it. And a guy like me, I mean, I hit my whole life, learned to switch hit when you're eight because you want to be Daryl Strawberry. Like, you just want to hit as a pitcher. It's exciting. I understand from a team's perspective, everybody thinks pitchers can't hit. So the DH, I get it, Gil. I thought that I was going to be more upset about it. I thought that it was going to bother me more. But I guess now that I'm not playing, I never really noticed it. Didn't really even consider that pitchers weren't hitting this season. So turns out that doesn't bother me as much as I thought it would be. But once again, as a player, it would bother me. But just once again, on a pitching side, I want to face the DH because I loved having the best lineup possible against me. But when I'm hitting, I actually want to hit myself. So the DH, I'm cool with. The seven-inning thing, just add that to the list of Major League Baseball just ruining the game and making a mockery of it. We do that in the minor leagues, Gil, because in the minor leagues we have rules, man. Like, we have rules with pitch counts and players and all kinds of different things. And so seven-inning doubleheaders are a necessity in the minor leagues for development. And I loved them because I knew I was throwing a complete game every time we got them. In the major leagues, man, like, that's ridiculous. This is the major leagues, dude. These guys play nine-inning games. There's no substitute for this. If you're going to use it's a 60-game season or the coronavirus or any of this other stuff that's going on, why do we play the season then? Like, why do we even do this? Like I just – there's so many things they're doing that's – I don't know, man. It's not good for the game of baseball. And so next year they're going to have to reset and go back to what it is. If they continue to do any of this stuff, it's just kind of like, to me, it gives into the people who don't want to put the work in or want a quick fix or don't want to sit. Like, it's not what the game really is. You work your entire life to get to that level. Not everybody can do it. There's a reason, and we should keep it that way. So that bothers me a little bit. Past that, man, I mean,
did the extra inning rule, because I'll tell you how I was with the extra innings rule, where a runner starts on second base every frame. I thought I would hate that. I ended up loving it.
See, I'm on the opposite. Last year when I forgot that they even did it in the minor leagues. And last year when I got to Columbia to be the pitching coach, we got our first extra inning game and somebody runs a second and I was like, what is he doing? Where is he going? And he's like, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe this. So being on the field with it, I still hate it. I think, once again, it's not baseball. Just call it a tie. Like, if you want the game to end so fast, if you want a time restriction on the game because you feel that the young audience can't sit through it, they don't stay entertained long enough, then just call the game and call it a tie and add a stat like hockey has it. Past that, I don't think it's good for the game either.
See, I just love screaming at managers for not bunting because I just find that, you know, that's the part that drives me crazy, right? I get it. People aren't taught to bunt. They don't want to bunt, but it's like, just bunt. God bless. Get a run.
Hey, you realize that during the regular season, anybody who bunts on their own. And the only time the manager puts it on is in the postseason, right?
Right. Well, that's clearly what's afoot for sure. Well, let's talk about the postseason. We're talking to Josh Towers. Former major leaguer, played with the Jays, the Yankees, and the Orioles. Those were the three teams, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Yep. Of course, he loved his Baltimore Orioles time more than any. We all know that. My beloved Orioles growing up. I'm just playing. Okay, a team that you think is overperforming headed into the postseason, a team that you think is undervalued if they sneak in?
This is an obvious one, but I still didn't expect Miami to be this good. I mean, they're currently sitting in the fifth position. They're three games over, 13 games ish to play. I'm kind of shocked at that. And to be honest with you, the Giants as well. I thought the Marlins would be better than the Giants for sure, but I thought the Giants were one of a handful of teams that were just going to be not very good. I didn't think that they had a chance at all. I thought that they're rebuilding, they gutted it. You have a whole bunch of guys that haven't proven themselves. I'm shocked that those two teams, if they can hang on, that would be good for baseball and probably the best part about the 60-game season. I mean, when you look on the national side, Gil, there's the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Rockies, Mets, the World Series champs last year. They're all out at this moment, which is fascinating. I'm not surprised with, the White Sox. I picked them to win the division. I am surprised at how bad Texas performed. I thought coming into the season that starting rotation was going to be special. So I'm shocked the way they performed. Not surprised with the Angels. We knew they wouldn't be good, or Boston. But then there's teams like Toronto still excited about. I mean, it's like, man, like getting these teams a year or two early into the postseason would be kind of neat for baseball and for them. I'm shocked at Houston. I thought Houston was going to be a lot worse, to be honest with you. I thought that they lost a lot of the rotation, about all of it, so they went young. And then the one team that I'm 50-50 with, Gil, is the Minnesota Twins. You got one guy hitting 320, Nelson Cruz, one of my favorite players in all the world. I love the guy. And then everybody else is hitting 250 and 230 and below. So that tells you, why is this team so good? Why are they 11 over? Like, obviously they got a fantastic coaching staff. Obviously these guys like playing for them. Clearly this team plays together collectively for each other. Then the pitching staff has to come together. Like this is a team to me that on the surface, you look at it and you go, I don't get it. And then it's the epitome of what happens when you do the little things right and you don't all have to have the biggest names or all hit 400 or all win 20 games. Like, it just shows you that there are so many little things that come together in this game to make a team, and Minnesota is that right now. With that said, I don't think that they're going to perform in the postseason.
Yeah, I like that answer, actually. We've got 90 seconds here, Josh. Of the teams that look like they are headed to the postseason, obviously still time to determine that, especially in the National League. But what manager, from your standpoint, is one that you can trust implicitly, and more for betters more than that even, or as powerful as that, what's a manager where you're like, I don't trust this dude at all, especially in a postseason situation?
Oh, there's a few, right? I mean, like, you got to go over to Chicago with the Cubs. I mean, how can you trust David Ross? Like, he went there as a player. He's experienced that side of it, and they're having a great season. The guys love him too, obviously. But now he's got to, like, don't lose. We're in the postseason. You can't lose. And so now he's going to start to pull strings and put things on in a I'm afraid to lose instead of, dude, whatever happens, happens, man. We're a good team. Let's just continue to do what we're doing. So I think that the postseason will alter his mindset and the pressure a little bit. I think on the flip side, Kevin Cash has proven year and year and year over that he's fantastic and he'll do whatever it takes in this moment to win, as far as like the right play is putting this guy here, or you're going to bat in this position, or I'll make like I think Kevin's in a prime position to do well from a manager's perspective. It's just going to let these players play the postseason the same way they play the regular season. And then Old Faithful would be LA. I mean, these guys, they're there every year. They don't seem to change. David Roberts, he's got the experience, and I think that they've pretty much learned all the lessons they need to learn as far as postseason, regular season. So I think that you can have a little bit of faith in them for sure. I think the American League is going to be a little bit more exciting than the National League. I think the National League is going to kind of play itself pretty self-explanatory, but I do like the Padres as well.
Josh, let's do this often during the postseason and on the run-up to it, okay?
For sure.
My man, Josh
Absolutely.
Towers,
thanks, buddy.
Back where he belongs on the airwaves, former major leaguer and former VSiN host, of course, at No Don't Josh. Appreciate it as always. It's all brought to you by Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com is the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped. That's past tense. Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN20. Davis Thompson still with the one-stroke lead over Rory McIlroy. Justin Thomas, the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. Two shots back now after he birdies the ninth hole. So he's two back along with Harris English. That's the top of your leaderboard. Davis Thompson from Georgia. We'll update it as the morning continues. Coming back with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, exclusively on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.